Luke chapter 1. And we will read here. This is the section I'll read is after Mary has been told that she will have a child. And obviously she's going to have a miraculous sort of birth in order to have a child. And the Lord says that will happen. If you go down there, Luke chapter 1, I'm not going to read all this, but verse 31, the Lord tells Mary what to call him. What did the Lord say to call him? Jesus. And then if you go to the next verse, verse 32, there's another couple of titles here. He shall be great and shall be called the, there's the S-O-N, capital S, Son of the Highest. Now watch this part. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now hold on a second. The Lord God is going to give him David's throne. Isn't Jesus himself the Lord God? So there in that verse, you're going to see this in a couple of verses we look at tonight. In that verse, it sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father are separate. Are they? Yes. But wait a minute. Other verses seem to indicate that they are equal. Are they? Yes and yes. Now when you figure this out, you got completely understood, please explain it to me. I just know that sometimes it sounds like two different, and sometimes it sounds like equal. Now, when I say two different, you understand three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and they are obviously, see, here I go. I have a hard time saying they're different because they're not, but at the same time they are because they're the same. Anyway, I'm going to get all tangled up before we start here. If you look at verse 33, the Lord says that this baby that Mary will give birth to, he shall reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. All right? Is he reigning? I asked this question Sunday morning. I'm going to ask it again. Is he reigning over the house of Jacob right now? Okay, now think about it. Jacob, name changed to Israel. Is the Lord Jesus Christ reigning over Israel today? The answer is no. Don't be afraid to say no. Because it's not, when you say that, it makes you think, am I saying that God is not in control? No, you're not saying that. God allows men to rule, sometimes wicked men to rule over nations. We're talking in the future, though. The Lord Jesus Christ will reign from Israel and will reign over the house of Jacob as well as the entire earth. So that's a prophecy that Mary did not see come to pass, did she? But she will. All right, I'm going to go down there to verse 46. I want to focus on what Mary does after she hears what's going to happen to her. And I want you to remember, as we read this, Mary is told what will happen, not what already happened. And because she hears what will happen, we are going to read her reaction to it. And before I read her reaction to it, do you read the Bible and read about things that haven't happened yet but will happen? Now, what should be your response to that? You don't have to answer. Your response and my response, I think it should be exactly the same as Mary's response. So let's see what she does. Remember, she's being told about something, but it hasn't happened yet. But it's about to happen. And look at her response. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now that is Mary's response to God telling her what is about to happen. What does she do, folks? How would you describe that? She gives glory and praise and honor to the Lord. Remember, all she did was hear what God was going to do. He hadn't done all that yet. So when we read the Bible and we read prophecy, things that haven't happened yet, we know what God is going to do. I think that we ought to copy Mary's response in praising and honoring and glorifying Him. Now, I've said this many times, but over the last few months, you've got evidence in your world that things are being prepped for prophecy to come to pass. It ought to make you glorify God even more and say, I knew it. God told me. And now I'm seeing some things that actually show me that I wasn't crazy. And the people can still think you're crazy, and it doesn't matter. Would you rather be on the Lord's side and be right than to be, quote, not crazy according to the world and end up wrong and in hell for eternity? I'll take being crazy but being right. Isn't that something true? If you're on the side of truth today, you are nuts. You're out of your mind to most people. But that's okay. I'd rather be right than be called crazy. All right, so I want to go 3 points here this evening. I want to talk about how Mary spoke of the salvation of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and the satisfaction of the Lord. So we'll spend a little bit of time on each of these, several cross-references here. But keep your finger here in Luke chapter 1. So I want you to know something right off the bat here that is very, very important. We've been talking about Roman Catholicism the last couple weeks. And Roman Catholicism, they make Mary out to be a lot better than she is. And I say that, folks, let's not get around it. Mary was a great woman. And it's okay to say that. But Mary was not sinless, as evidenced by, look at verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my... So you know what that verse tells you? Even Mary needed a Savior. And it's okay to say Mary was a great woman, but Mary still needed a Savior. So let's look at a couple things about Mary here. Go to Luke chapter 11. You're in chapter 1. Go over to 11. And even today, people will say the very same thing that we're about to read here in Luke 11 concerning Mary. And the Lord, now this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's obviously a man here in Luke chapter 11. He's going to set this thing straight. Look at Luke 11. And look at verse 27. Luke 11:27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him. Now this is a woman talking to Jesus. Look what she says. Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the pap which thou hast sucked. Before I read the next verse, who is this woman giving honor and praise to? Not Jesus. She's talking to the one she should be giving praise to. But she says, blessed is the womb and the past. Speaking of Mary. Now the Lord is going to set her straight. Look at verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So should you give glory to Mary, or should you hear God's word and keep it? You should take option number two, hear God's word and keep it. The Lord set that woman straight there. But even today, I actually wrote in my Bible here, on verse 27, I wrote Roman Catholicism. That's what they teach. Give glory to Mary. And then in verse 28, I wrote Bible believers. Hear God's word and keep it. So let's make sure we get that right. Again, I'm not trying to say Mary is not important. She's obviously very important. I'm not trying to say Mary is not worthy of mentioning that she was a great woman. She is, but who's greater? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make sure we get that. Okay, so let's talk about salvation here. Mary needed a Savior. It tells you there's verse 47, Luke chapter 1. Now, go over to Psalm 138. And this goes hand in hand with what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And it goes hand in hand with what Mary said about my soul doth magnify the Lord. So magnify. Have you ever used a magnifying glass? To magnify something makes something that is small really, really big. Correct? Now, can you see the Lord? You can't. But you know what you can do? Even though you can't even see Him, you know what you can do? You can make Him big to the world. And you can do that with your mouth. You can make the Lord real and big to the world by praising Him. So go to Psalm 138, and this is an interesting verse. A lot of controversy about this verse, but I'm just going to read it and believe it as it's written. Look what it says in verse 2. 138 verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Notice it says there, praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And look what it says next. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, is the name of Jesus Christ, is the name of the Lord God Almighty, is that pretty important? Is there a greater name? No greater name. Did you see what the verse said? Thou hast magnified thy what? Word above all thy name. Folks, your Bible should be magnified. How does God reveal Himself? Through the Bible. So therefore, if I know God through His Word, it's okay to magnify His Word, because if I'm praising and magnifying His Word, who am I praising and magnifying? The Lord God Almighty. Now, I have been called, Sherry has too, bibliolater. You're worshiping the Bible. No, I'm given honor where God says I should give honor. We should praise the Word of God. Because again, it's not an idolatrous thing. If I'm praising God's Word, I'm praising the Lord because He reveals Himself to me and you through His Word. That's how I know Him. You don't want to go to other sources outside of the Bible to find out things about the Lord. This is going to reveal the Lord completely. All you need is right here in this book. So I think that's interesting. Magnifying the Word is really akin to magnifying the Lord. So go back there to Luke chapter 1. You want to keep your finger in Psalms. We're going to be looking at a few Psalms here. But in Luke chapter 1 there, she says, I want you to look at verse 47 again. Man, this is a neat verse. 47, she says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Now, who is the Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ. She says, God, my Savior. Now, you want to do a little comparison, contrast. Go to Titus chapter 2, but be able to turn back there to Luke chapter 1. Go to Titus chapter 2. And this goes right hand in hand with what I mentioned at the beginning here about the Godhead. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13. This verse is going to tell you something that we ought to be doing right now. Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. What's that next word? And our Savior, Jesus Christ. Time out. Luke 1, God, my Savior. Sounds like one individual. Did you see what Titus said? The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sounds like two. Trick question. Be careful how you answer. Is it two or is it one? Yes and yes. Yes and yes. And here's why I say that. I'm not all that smart. I'm just going to believe that the Bible is right. In one place, it's one. God and Savior are the same. In this other place, it sounds like they're separate. If you understand the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, this is not a problem at all. But a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon is going to have a big problem with verse 13 right there. And by the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses have probably changed that in their Bible, but the Mormons still use the King James, and that is in their Bible. So I'd like to hear how they explain. Well, you know what they do. They separate the two and make Jesus Christ less than God is what they do. But then you got Luke 1 and that one. You can't make Him less than God if He is the Savior, and God, capital G, is the Savior. You see how that works? Isn't that neat? All right, so another verse here. Go over to, this is going to be a hard one to find. Hope you're ready for this one. Find Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Left off Obadiah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk chapter 3. And this just goes along with what Mary was doing over there in Luke chapter 1. She's magnifying, praising, and rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. Look at Habakkuk 3. Verse 18. There it is. 3:18. Actually, look at 17. 17 actually gives you a little help here. 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat,
The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, before I read the next verse, that's pretty bleak outlook, isn't it? I mean, the writer here, Habakkuk, is talking about how he doesn't have anything. All that he had prior is gone. Look at his response in verse 18. If you don't need this tonight, I do. Look at verse 18. Yet I will do what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There you go. So in spite of all the bad things there in verse 17, Habakkuk tells us the right response to difficulty. Rejoice in the Lord. Joy in the God of my salvation. If you look at those things in verse 17, you can take each one of those things. All those things are all those things are temporary, and that's why they're gone. But if you're saved, is that temporary? Can you lose your salvation? Can somebody steal it? Can it wear out? Can it be corrupted? No way. All those things in 17, yes. But Habakkuk, the right response, he's rejoicing in the Lord, he's joying in the God of his salvation. There's the right response to difficult times, folks. Amen. You might need that verse down the road. Maybe in January 21st. I don't know. You might. I say that. That's the starting point. And that's okay. Right? It'll be okay. Mike, you got to understand something. If you're a Bible believer, you know it might get worse before it gets better. You got to be willing to deal with that. Because if things are going to be laid out for the tribulation, it's going to get worse. Even though you're not in the tribulation, it might get worse. Because there's got to be a guy show up on the scene that's got all the answers, right? And that kickstarts the tribulation. So it probably is going to get worse before it gets better for us saved folks. And that's okay. Because just rejoice in the Lord. Joy in the God of your salvation. Okay, go back there to Luke chapter 1. That's point number 1, salvation. And let's see if we can get at least through number 2 here. How about, let's talk about, and this whole section, you know what Mary's doing? Mary's doing something we all ought to do every day. She's bragging on how great God is. Now, everybody here can talk, and you like to talk. I know that, because you either show up early, some of you show up early, like to talk, or you stay late, like to talk, or you do both, and that's okay. We all like to talk. You know what we ought to do with our talk? The same thing Mary did here. Give honor and glory and praise to the Lord God Almighty. Magnify Him. Make Him known to people who don't know Him. Alright? So look what she says here. Verse 49. Luke 1:49. Bragging on the Lord's strength. She bragged on the Lord's salvation on her behalf. Now she's going to brag on God's strength. Look at verse 49. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. Can you identify with Mary? Can you say that? Has God done for you great things? All right, how about you tell Him? How about you tell somebody else what He did for you? That's magnifying Him. That's making Him known. All right, look at verse 50. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. I'll tell you, one of these days, this has been one of those messages on the back burner. I preach a message on mercy, and you talk about convicting, just doing the study for that thing. You realize what God gave you versus what you deserve when you got saved. That's a mercy of God. You deserve hell, and God made a way for you to have eternal life. It's a mercy of God. We could talk a lot about that. There's a whole lot of verses about mercy. Look at verse 51. He has showed strength with, notice the wording, strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. You see, if you're of low degree right now, rejoice, because you'll get your time one day, right? And the mighty get put down. There's been a lot of talk. I know it used to be a conspiracy theorist if you used these words, if you said this. The elites, the rich elites. Just a couple years ago, people would think you're a conspiracy theorist. I hear the news people talking about this now. The rich elites. And are you noticing? If those conspiracy theorists, if you want to call them that, they were right. You know who rules the world, folks? You know who makes the decisions when it comes to things that happen in this world? Rich people. I named them the other night. Bezos, Gates, Warren Buffett, go down the list. Those guys call the shots. Soros. Those guys call the shots. Now, the Lord's in control, but those guys have a lot of power because they have a lot of money. You know what's going to happen to them one day? Amen. Preach it, Brother Bob. The Lord, I'm going to add to that. The Lord's going to put them down, and their money is gone. Can't do anything with it. And that's for eternity. Better to be rich in eternity and poor now than rich now with nothing in eternity. I'll take being poor now. Amen. I'll drive the Honda or the Chevy or whatever instead of the Cadillac Tesla. Yeah, I don't need all that anyway. You buy that stuff anyway. It takes more money to keep the maintenance up, doesn't it? See, the more you got to take care of. Anyway, it's nice to have just a few things sometimes. That way you don't have so much to take care of. All right, let's go look at some verses here. Some psalms, a couple psalms here. Go to Psalm 18. Keep your finger here in Psalm. Look at a few. The strength of the Lord. I tell you, we could have gone all over the Bible on God's strength, but I'll just show you a few here. The strength of God. You know the verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So that means your strength is supposed to come from the Lord. If you're going to get anything done for the Lord that glorifies Him, it's not going to be in your strength. It's going to be in His strength. Verse 1, 18:1, Psalm 18:1. I will love Thee, O Lord, my what? My strength. Look at verse 2. That's loaded. The Lord is my, help me out on this one, rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You got more than a 3-point outline here to preach, John, Don? You got a several point outline here, maybe 8. Rock, fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. You got more. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, I'm trying to think. When I went to New York City, the tower's already gone down. But I guess the tallest towers I've ever seen are in New York City. Some of y'all been there? Maybe you've been up to anybody been to the Space Needle up there in Seattle? Anybody been up there? Okay. They got towers. Man loves to build things, right? And in cities, they got to build the tallest of towers. What's that verse say right there? Talking about the Lord, He's my high tower. Can man build a tower higher than the Lord? They tried. Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. How'd that go? What a joke. See, the towers and buildings of men are a joke to the Lord. Amen. Lots of my's right there for somebody to preach on one of these days. That's a good verse right there. Go over to Psalm 27. This is a personal favorite of mine. Psalm 27:1. Good verse to memorize here. 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. There it is again. Whom shall I fear? What's the answer to that? Answer that question. Whom shall I fear? Only the Lord. That's it. You got nobody else to fear if you fear the Lord. Look at the rest of the verse. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Answers nobody. You fear the Lord? If He's your strength, you got nothing to fear. Amen? Good verses right there on strength, the strength of God. Go over to Psalm 98. Now, I'll refer back to Luke on this one. This is a neat one right here. Go find Psalm 98, and then if you still got Luke, look over there for just a second before we read Psalm 98. In Luke chapter 149, no, it's not 49, it's verse 51. There we go. Luke 151. Luke 151. He hath showed strength with what? His arm. The Lord's got a strong arm. Look at Psalm 98, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. That's a great baseball verse, by the way. The Lord's got a strong arm. He's got a holy arm. And if you follow baseball, it's the pitcher who gets the win in the stat sheet. And the Lord has the most powerful arm. Isn't that something right there? So you find out there He's got a strong arm in Luke. You find out over there He's got a holy arm in Psalm 98. And that's His strength there. Go to Isaiah. One more here on the strength of God, and then I think we got time to hit this last one. Go to Isaiah 59. And this has to do with the arm of the Lord. Isaiah 59. Oh, it's a good one. Actually, this is the hand of the Lord. Hand is connected to the arm, though. And we already saw the mention of the hand. Look at Isaiah 59:1. Oh, this is an encouraging verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Is there anything that the Lord can't take care of that you've got a problem with? Folks, look at that verse. There's nothing that He can't do. We get it in our minds, at least I do sometimes. I think, the Lord can do a lot of things, but this is a unique situation. I don't know. I hate to admit that I think that sometimes. And then I have to get right back in the Bible and be reminded, like a verse like that one, or there's many like that one. The Lord can do anything that I need help with. And I just need to ask Him and trust Him in those situations. So, good verse right there. Don't think that the Lord is not able to take care of anything that comes your way. Hey, we saw it tonight. A week ago we had prayer for... this is looking bad. You said it. I thought to myself, if that man's in that condition, we might be hearing, very likely in those situations, hear bad news sometimes within 24, 48 hours. And here we are a week later. He's home. Hallelujah. You think prayer might have anything to do with that? That's no coincidence. See, the world chalks that up. Oh, yeah. Got lucky. The guy has, they thought he had brain damage and thought he might not make it, and now he's home. That's a miracle, and the Lord did that. And we prayed about it last week, and I know we weren't the only ones praying. Hallelujah. The Lord can do those things. All right, let's go back there to Luke, and let's get this last one here. Man, this is the last part here is real encouraging. Hopefully this whole thing, all 3 points will be encouraging to you. The Lord, your salvation, the Lord, your strength, and the Lord, finally here, is your satisfaction. Luke chapter 1. Go down there to, let's finish it up here, what we did read. Verse 53. Luke 1:53. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Has He done that for you? Now, it sure is nice to have a church that you can go to hungry and go out full. Amen? And it's nice to have a Bible that you can have at home and be hungry. And after you spend a little time in it, go away full. Amen? Isn't it sad? People that make this claim that, well, God hasn't really preserved all His words. It's only in the original Greek and Hebrew. How's your hunger ever going to be satisfied if you don't really think you've got God's word? You know what the answer to that is? You're never going to be satisfied. You're going to be continually hungry. You might get a little bit here and a little bit there. If you've got another version, you might get a little bit here and there. But you're not going to go to need all the nutrients, all the vitamins, all the minerals. Amen? There's no vitamin D deficiency in the Word of God, right? There's plenty of verses on the deity of Christ, all right? No vitamin C deficiency. There's plenty of verses on the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, all right? All kinds of stuff in here that you need, I need, and it keeps us full. All right, let's go to, on that thought about the filling the hungry with good things. I just want to spend the last couple minutes here on that. Go to Psalm 81. Some verses in Psalms and we'll be done. Psalm 81. Learn a lesson from Mary tonight, folks. Mary was told what God was going to do. He hadn't done it yet. And all she does is hear what God is going to do. She just hears. And she is excited. And she's praising God. And you know what's the great thing about the Lord is? She's praising the Lord, but He just told her all these things that she was going to be involved with. Isn't that the great thing about God? He'll tell you things, and then He's going to involve you in His work. Isn't that a great thing? Of all people for God to use, it's us folks right here. And we're not the only ones, but God uses saved people. It's hard to believe that sometimes, the way saved people act. But God uses saved people, amen? When you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, man, God will really use you. That's the way He uses you best. All right, go to Psalm 81. Is that what I told you? Okay, good. Psalm 81:10. Oh, good verse right here. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The Lord done that for you? You know why people don't get full? They got their mouth closed.
You know when I open my mouth? To put food in my mouth. When I'm hungry, open your mouth. I'm talking about spiritual hunger here. Open your mouth. God will fill you up. Amen? Now we're good. Maybe not all of you in here, but I know I am. And I can probably speak for the fellas here. I won't talk for the ladies. But us fellas right here, we'd like to open our mouth and put food in there. And sometimes, fellas, we put too much in there. Guilty party. You know what? How about we get what we need from God's Word and never get hungry? Just stay full all the time. Just get a lot, all right? Don't go too long or else you get hungry. Get some more. They say that the best way to eat is throughout the day, right? And that way you actually don't overeat if you eat a little bit here all throughout the day. And you don't get, you folks know how it goes, you eat a lot, you get real tired. If you eat just little bits throughout the day, that doesn't happen. And same thing with the Word of God. Now I'm bad about just once in the morning, once at night, and not always doing it during the day. The best is to have that thing all through the day, if at all possible. If you got a verse in your house or wherever you work, you can put it on the wall and just be reminded of it throughout the day. Amen? Keep you from getting hungry, all right? Sometimes just a little bit of snack satisfies your hunger, and then you can go on for a while. Same thing with the Word of God, just a verse, just a couple of verses, and you can go on. And then get a little bit more. Get that big meal whenever you got more time. Amen? Those big meals are good, aren't they? I'm talking about the Bible here. It's about the manna from heaven right here. Okay, go to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Verse 8. Now, I did this on purpose. I read Psalm 81 because the Lord said, "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." Here's what ought to happen if you're filled. Look at verse 71, verse 8. "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." You know how that's going to happen? If you've been filled up, you went from being hungry to full, you've been filled up with God's Word. Now, it's in you. And what does it say right there? If you're full, then what ought to come out? The praise and honor towards the Lord all day long. So don't get hungry during the day. Eat all day, and then at the same time, praise and honor the Lord all day. Amen? You're more likely to do that. I just had a conversation with a young man today that used some inappropriate language, and I told that young man, I said, here's what he told me. He said, "It was an accident." I said, "No, it wasn't." I said, "That's a result of what you put in your heart." And I went through some things. I said, "I don't know about this, but I know what teenagers put in their hearts, and if you got it from this source, or this source, it probably wasn't good." And he shook his head. "Yeah, you're right." And if you put the right things in, the right things come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you put the right things in, right things come out. If you get hungry, put the Word of God in. You know what will come out sooner or later? Praise and honor to God. Amen? One more verse. Let's go to Psalm 107. I think we'll just do this. We got a minute over, but we'll go one more here. 107. One more psalm, and then we'll be done. Psalm 107, look at verse 8. 107, 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Amen to that. That men should do that. How about you go down there to verse 9? Let's keep going here. "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with" what? He's done that for you? Then praise His name. Hey, look at verse 15. I think that the psalmist might be trying to tell us something here. Look at verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." How about another one? Go to verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Now, why is he repeating himself? "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." There's another one there, 31. I think Phil caught it there. It's right there again. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Why would he say that several times in the same chapter? Maybe because we need to do it more. I think he said it there four times in that chapter. So take the time. Learn a lesson from Mary. Take the time, just like Mary did, to praise God and honor Him. And remember what got her going. What got her going to do that? All that happened right before that, I didn't read all of it. All that happened is she heard from God about what he was about to do. So you're more inclined to give honor and praise to the Lord if you hear from him on a regular basis. You know, folks aren't praising God like they should. Okay, well, they're probably not hearing from him on a regular basis. Now, you folks are spoiled here. We get to hear from him on a regular basis here. Hope we get it at home, too. So you know what that ought to produce? Praise, honor, glory to God. And that's better than talking about the Democrats and this group over here and that group over here. That's going to make you mad. This will get you excited. All right? Or talking about the team that you cheer for that lost and all that nonsense. Come on. You know what it is? It's nonsense. Come on. Get over yourself. Oh, my team lost again. Come on. It was actually really good this summer when all that stuff was shut down for a while. Got our minds off that stuff. So focus on the Lord. Get full. And more inclined, if you get full of more inclined, that God's, a praise for God will come out of you. All right? Good stuff there. See, Mary is a great woman that we can learn something from. You don't overdo it. The Lord's a lot more important than Mary, but Mary had some things right, what she said there. A lot of things right. So let's learn that. All right. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us truth tonight. Once again, we are so blessed and so spoiled here to constantly have the opportunity to get full on your word. And I pray that it would produce in us honor and praise to you tonight as we go from here, tomorrow as we continue to hear from you and the rest of this week. And Lord, I pray you give all of us here tonight opportunities to tell somebody during this time of year where people are more likely to listen, to tell them about what you have done for us in salvation and just all the mighty provisions you've given us. I pray for everybody as they go from here. Keep us safe, as I know it was a little bit slippery and wet outside earlier. Pray for safety. We want to pray for all those folks on our list that are dealing with sickness, and we lift them up all. We lift all of them up to you, Lord. We know that you are capable of doing great things. We heard about it tonight, and I pray that you'd bring these folks to full recovery, and we pray that you do that quickly. And particularly, Miss Diana, pray for a good report even tonight and in the days ahead from her. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.